reconvene the meeting, and our afternoon gets started with old business.
Budget, oh yeah.
Which, yeah, the first item in old business is the budget update.
Thank you.
Well, of course, the most significant issue about budget is that the special session has just concluded. They did have across-the-board cuts. I haven't seen the actual online, you know, what the governor signed, but what I read in the paper, I believe it's pretty much the same as the numbers we had before. We were cut, along with most other agencies, across the board of 2.5% for the current fiscal year and 5% for state fiscal year 10-11. Most of the reporting we do and most of the discussion we do deals with federal fiscal year, but then when we get to the budgetary things that relate to the state, we have to think about state fiscal year. So sometimes numbers will vary depending on, you know, which aspect of that. But so these are the state, the current year is July 1 of 09 to June 30, 10, and then the next fiscal year is July 1 of 2010 to June 30, 2011. The budget that was proposed by the governor, we did go to the hearing and say to the legislators that we did get some additional federal money this year, actually mostly because so many states were hit so much harder that many rehab agencies were not able to spend all of their money from the Federal Rehab Act because they couldn't get the state match. Every year there's a chance to request reallotment of money from the federal that other states have turned back, and we got I think around $600,000 this year, which is unheard of. So we told the legislators that the cuts they were putting forth, we could manage in the short term anyway, you know, hoping this wasn't an ongoing kind of a decrease in budgets, but that we can manage with what had been proposed. And there was one consumer, a senior in high school, a blind client who stood up, and he did it for some extra credit in school. He did a very good job of testifying to the quality of the services that he had received from the commission and how much it had made an impact in his life, and that he believed that our budget should not be cut at all. And so it was nice. They really appreciated that we didn't fill the room this time with people. and although, interestingly, they did this year hold the budget hearings in one of the larger hearing rooms.
Of course. That's probably why it wasn't full.
I know, very ironic. It might be well to, for us and some consumers, to write to the Appropriations Committee and thank them for meeting in the larger room. Mm-hmm. For the normal budget sessions, they meet in a very small room. And so even though we didn't have lots of people, it really, I thought, was a very good thing that they were in the larger room. And so I was short and succinct, and the one young man who testified was also, he did a great job. He didn't go on and on repeating himself, and they appreciated it. And so But I think Jeff had asked me earlier on behalf of the Federation about the budget and consumers' involvement and if there were specific things. And I really think all of us, staff and consumers alike, just really staying up on what the legislature is doing and being quick to share information around so people are informed, and coming to testify is really a very valuable thing. And also communicating with senators in between budget times so that they hear not just from staff and not just at budget time about the importance of the programs. Anyway, the cuts there's the across-the-board cuts that I mentioned, and then also there's a part of it called lapse reappropriations. That is, of the carryover that state agencies had from previous years, we previously had been given permission to carry over any amount, and this year what they did was to subtract and say you can't spend all of that. So it's money that we were allowed to carry over, that then was decreased in how much we could spend. So it's kind of a different way of going about a cut, but our cut basically for this year, the 2.5% that I mentioned, computes out to about $29,000, and then for next year it's just under $50,000. So that's kind of in a nutshell what I said to the Appropriations Committee. I really do believe that because we got some extra federal, and because, you know, we just are very, we're attentive to cost savings and efficiencies, that I feel confident we can implement these cuts without any, we definitely won't need to do any layoffs. We might have, say, fewer people in a particular program. Like wages is a good example of one where the cost per person with the wages that the student earns and so on, you know, we can, depending on budget, increase the number of kids we can serve or decrease that number. So that's just one example, but at times in the past we've cut specific programs or combined programs or not done a particular workshop. Right now, because we have the stimulus funds, it does give us, again, some extra money that we could use for training, and so that'll help ease the damage that the cuts do to the budget and still be in line with what we're supposed to be doing with those federal monies. Other than that, I could provide specific information if you like, or answer any questions about the budget.
What is the long-term projected impact? Especially, I guess I'm not so much concerned as the actual money that we're losing from the state, but how that impacts the federal money and the match process in the projected, mm-hmm. the three-year
okay.
outlook.
Well, thank you. Well, hopefully it'll be a minimal impact. We did take a look at maintenance of effort, which is a requirement by the feds that relates to state funding from 2 years prior to any given point in time. And then what we have today computes to 2 years hence. So we looked at that over about a 6-year period from the past and going into the future. The changes this year will not damage us in the future.
Good.
We certainly, I read in the paper this morning, there's they, the legislature is starting to look at long-term, you know, basically making sure that the budget stays solid. And so who knows where they'll go with that. But I think one of the points that is very important, we repeat it to the policymakers and the budget people frequently, any chance we get, the bang for the buck with the vocational rehabilitation program, because of the match with the older blind and independent living, for every $1 of state money, you're bringing in $9 to the state. With the vocational rehabilitation, it's an 87.7%, 23.3% match. So $1 of state brings in, I believe, $3.69 from the feds. So states have a lot to lose if they don't, at the very least, match all the available funding. Then the other part of the equation is what the feds do with the budget each year and whether it has increases and so on. I don't know if I'm answering mm-hmm. your question, but that's kind of the things that are in the air right now.
Okay. No, that does. It's okay. It's not the beginning of the end.
Right. No. I don't believe that it is. I think the cup's half full. I guess the other thing is that we have been able to match all federal dollars for many years now. We've worked very hard to make sure that happens, and so far, so good.
Okay.
If I may, at the break, Jeff Altman had asked me some questions about budget, and I would like to see if I answered everything.
You did.
I guess it wasn't at the break. It was at the end of public comment.
Yeah.
I did. All right, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay.
A couple new people came in. Do you want them to introduce?
Let's finish up the
okay.
segment. Are there other questions about budget?
Just a quick clarification.
Mm-hmm.
We're not going to have any problems on the short term because of the extra money that we were able to get from the federal government this year.
Right.
Okay. Because it sounds like between this year and next year, we're going to be short maybe 80,000. And we were able to get an extra $600,000
right.
from the federal government this year, so,
mm-hmm.
okay.
That's right.
I know the stimulus money is has to be spent, you know, in the short term. And I know we've talked about it before, but I'm just wondering what was decided to do to be that money to be spent on?
Okay. This is something we've worked at in state staff meeting. We got ideas in office meetings, supervisors meetings, admin team. So we've had a lot of really good input from all staff. And Dave and Bill designed this a spreadsheet that we kind of map out all of the ideas that we ended up deciding did fit with the stimulus and then when Dave actually pays a bill that relates to one of these projects, the payment goes on to the spreadsheets and subtracts out the balance so we can track on a live basis, basically, mm-hmm. where we're at with that. Bill, his worksheets, he always prints these up in, I think it's like a size 2 font. I actually know the size of the font.
Small.
It's small.
Mm. Need a magnifier.
No. But it is. It's just kind of amazing.
He wants to fit everything on one page.
But right. Well, and to get the spreadsheets to work to print is how it's just. It's not really Bill's fault. Mm-hmm. It's the Excel fault. But okay. So back to your question. I'll just read you some of the projects. And some of them are, we got different stimulus money from for Voc Rehab and a separate amount for independent living and another amount for older blind. I won't necessarily give you all those details, but so the employment conference that we had in February of 09, E-Force, that work that we're doing to work all the bugs out of the E-Force system and then getting it into all parts of our service delivery system. Winterfest, we sent some staff to some different trainings. The home teacher in North Platte had been half-time, so in the North Platte office, we had one support staff, a rehab tech, one full-time Voc Rehab counselor, and a half-time orientation counselor. We moved her hours to full-time, at least for the duration of the stimulus funds, which take us to October 1 of 2011. Business Enterprise, the contract that that Todd talked about at the Ashland National Guard, work benefits planning training, laptop computers, of which we're looking at what to get for staff to use in the field so that they could be entering information right into E-Force while they're there, mm-hmm. and that'll duplicate, mm-hmm. that'll minimize duplication of work, and it'll allow for more time to be spent with clients instead of having to come back and, you know, basically redo all the work you wrote down in the field. So we've been doing some research on what to get staff that will make that happen, that will also be fully accessible. So that's kind of all in the works. Wages program, some parts of that. Vending machines, excuse me, in different parts of the state. Purchasing equipment, both for offices and for for clients, are some things that we're doing. Some people attended a conference on aging. We are updating our equipment in the wood shop in the center. And most of the equipment that's in there now was part of our wood shop when I started in 1979. So we figured this would be a good time. Because a lot of that stuff is pretty costly, and so those things are in the work. We've talked about on-the-job training and internship options for people. I think we aren't actually doing a lot with that yet, but that just has more to do with it hasn't really worked out that well. Project Search, we are spending some of the stimulus money on Project Search, which I told you about earlier, what that is. Self-employment, one self-employment arrangement, which I think was for a pig farmer. The demonstration curriculum, that's, I talked a little bit before, that's going to be something that will definitely help in the future. There'll be media products that we'll be able to use long into the future. Employment conferences that might be coming up later. The Statewide Independent Living Council activities. Bob will probably go to a conference that relates to our statewide plan for independent living. Let's see. The Older Blind Conference we mentioned earlier, probably bringing Paige Berry, who's a real expert in senior blind and deaf blindness, that bring her in at some point. Sending people to consumer conventions. And then, oh, and we can spend a certain proportion of the funds on administration. So that is that.
Other questions? Budget? Are you guys still awake?
No.
Okay. All righty. I guess that concludes. Thank you.
Sure.
Our budget report. I think there were a few new people that came in. If you would like to tell us your name and maybe the city that you're from, so we can.
Carlos Cervant from Lincoln.
Okay. Thank you.
Dan Bird from Omaha.
All right. Thank you.
Hi.
Okay. Okay, our next item is the NIST update or other state personnel issues. And I've expanded that topic. It used to just be about NIST, but I thought if there were any other related state of Nebraska issues that impacted employment at NCBVI that we should also talk about those.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good idea. Well, Kathy had the great pleasure, along with Bill and Dave, to spend an entire day in training about the new version of NIST that's coming up. I'd like to see if she has anything to tell us about that.
They're coming out NIST 9.0. It's the new update is supposed to come out the first of the year. A lot of it's going to be the same. There are some things that are different. The portal page, where you sign in into NIST, that page will be a different setup. It'll look differently. A lot of state agencies are going into where the employees do their time cards in NIST. And so when it comes time to do payroll, basically all the information the employee has entered all their time already into the system. So NIST just kicks out the paychecks. It works out good for some larger agencies, I think. There are some things that employees and really like about it, having their time cards that way. And of course, there's issues that some people, you know, don't like it. So that's something that Dave and I have kind of tossed around the table to see, you know, would that be something that our agency would ever want to do? And if it is something, a path that we want to take at some point, then the people in state accounting, they would be more than happy to help us set up our system. But that's something that's probably a lot of agencies. There's probably only about maybe 15 state agencies that use that payroll system at this point. So they're encouraging people to use it, but it takes time. Another thing we touched on at that meeting. The meeting was it was all-day meeting, but they gave the presenters each a lot of time, like 30 minutes for their subject, and some of them only took 20. So a lot of it was sitting and waiting for the next session, which was kind of a letdown. They didn't have near as much new information to present as I think they thought they did. Another thing we covered was the a couple of things will change in NIST as far as the different menus, and a lot of it will be the people who use NIST more will see a different outlook as far as getting into. An example would be they used to have human resources and payroll all in one link, and now they're dividing those things up. So one link will be just human resources, another payroll. So a lot of those are just cosmetic changes. A lot of employees who use NIST basically for their own self-service, for their review of the paycheck and pay stub, they will only have access to those areas that they need access to. basically,
what about the accessibility issues?
Accessibility issues, they're always, they say they're always looking into those, and they are aware that everything needs to be accessible. They think this will be more accessible, actually.
Okay.
Because they think that with the new portal, the way it's set up, it'll be easier to navigate. But until it's up and running and fully tested, now they said, Patoche, did you test some of it?
Some of it, yes.
Yeah. How is it?
They made some changes, and I mean significant changes actually. Like the when you are doing a task, it always took you to the beginning of the page. It doesn't do that anymore because then when it does it, you kind of totally get lost. I checked, you know, few areas that really kind of involved me and, you know, bill paying and self, the paycheck area.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems like they work well.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, when it does go live, we'll want to make sure that staff do check it out, and you know, if there are snags, we'll let them know what they are, just in case they didn't find out themselves.
They hired one of our Lincoln clients to work with them too, so I think they're he's working with them like twice a week.
Good.
Yeah.
Okay. When you said the paycheck part, are you talking about the pay stub?
Pay stub. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's relatively accessible then?
Well, we don't know what the one that they're going to release, but the one that I check, I mean, it's not there yet. They're going to release in January. But the parts that I checked was, yes, you can go around a lot easier than before.
I would like to suggest to Kathy that when the new version is actually in place, to send a note to the board and to all staff, and you know, people take it extra time. Not, I don't know that you guys have access to NIST, but for staff that want to check out your, you know, I mean, go ahead and check your pay stub and look at things within. If you are a person that writes purchase orders, and what I'm saying is that this note from Kathy to all staff will encourage them to go ahead and even if they don't have a PO to write, just then go into the screens play with it a little bit too, so mm-hmm. that we can see quickly if there are parts that need some work. Mm-hmm. So we'll do that.
Pearl, basically, I gave up a long time ago trying to get access to my pay stub. I don't have the computer skills to really go after some of that stuff, and I don't have the time normally in the day. And so,
Let me just say that when I suggest Kathy send a note, that doesn't mean every staff needs to go try
right.
something. I want to be just, some people are more inclined to do it and others aren't, then it's not necessarily accessibility.
And may I say something, mm-hmm. Madam Chairperson?
Yes, go.
Part of the problem is that we don't know, part of this accessibility, but part of it that we don't know how. I mean, because we don't do it every day,
right.
like the persons that are paying the bills and doing the POs. You know, NASA sent us the accessible form for our expense sheet. Well, I looked at that form and I tried to fill it out, and I made a mistake because I never ever filled it out myself. You know, I always use a reader to mm-hmm. fill that out. So after I work with Bill, Cheryl, to see how it is filled out, I filled it out perfectly. So mm-hmm. I think it's part of it is to learn the process, really.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I agree. And we can certainly, if people let us know that they like training on something, you know, we can always do that. But we need to know what people need.
There are in NIST, there are training manuals, and they are very, very clear. They are excellent tools, and I use them all the time. Because the things that you don't do on a daily basis, sometimes you might do it. It might be 3 months since you've done it last. So I find the training manuals in this to be very helpful tools.
Kathy, when you send out what you're going to send out, would you tell people about the manuals and how to find them? Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Are there questions about NIST? Are there any other state personnel issues?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up. Maybe 6 weeks ago or so, Fatosha and I met with Mike McCrory, the head of the Department of Personnel, and two of his staff, and we were discussing if there would be ways to get more employment in, that's probably close enough, isn't it? More employment for blind people within state government. And it was kind of a positive and negative meeting. They expressed that definitely blind people should have as much of an opportunity to work in the state as anyone else. They weren't wanting to set up anything really extra, but they did agree that we could do more educating of hiring teams and state agencies, personnel officers, agencies, supervisors that do hiring to promote our clients who might want jobs in state agencies. And then one result from it is that we were allowed the opportunity to write articles for the state employment newsletter. It's, you know, what state personnel puts together, I don't know how often, really, quarterly?
Quarterly.
For all state employees. And so we did have one very good article for a newsletter. And then we sent in a second one. And I haven't seen it yet, but I also don't know if, I don't think that the newsletter has come out since then. We were trying to also get a statement from the governor about the importance of hiring blind people. And then really kind of all the budget stuff hit, and so it wouldn't have been the best timing anyway to try to get that. But eventually, something else I didn't mention in my report since the last meeting was the White Cane Proclamation, and the governor does proclaim that blind people should be employed in state government and other all aspects of the world of Nebraska. And also there was a White Cane Banquet in Omaha, which I represented the commission and read the proclamation. Anyway, so that's kind of ongoing. We will continue to try to find ways to promote employment in the state, in state government.
I don't know if there's a way to know, but do you have any idea, like, what the percentage of blind people working in state government is?
It's minuscule.
It's less than would normally be expected.
Oh. Way
less. Okay.
Right.
If you don't consider our agency, because we're special unit. If you don't consider our agency, out of 5,000, I think the last count we had was 4.
Mm. How many?
4.
That's what I thought you said.
4 people that we know of.
That we know.
Oh, right. Well.
Yeah.
and
it is
not that we know every blind person in the state, but we do tend to know, you know, who's working. Mm-hmm.
And you know at least three or four.
So it's very fair to say that blind people are under, drastically underrepresented.
And I think disabled as a whole, because the general rehab is doing a broader education of state government too. You know, as one of the largest employers in the state, that they need to be, you know, stepping up and providing more opportunities for individuals with all disabilities.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that was, Pearl, you know, a positive and negative side of the meeting. You know, in the meeting, they say there are no barriers. Mm-hmm. Well, the numbers really speak for themselves.
Yeah.
There is some kind of a barrier.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
Are there people applying?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm. I mean, that could definitely
right.
be a reason.
Yeah,
that
that's
not.
Right. So, but those were, that's the main thing. And that I don't know about.
Okay. Other questions?
Madam Chairman.
Yep.
A little bit different question. I think it sort of fits into this particular category. Maybe a little sideways, but it fits in, I think. I'm wondering if communications between members of the Board of Commissioners and the general public, agency employees, and so forth, if those emails or other communications are preserved as a part of the public record.
Are communications from
not that I know
the
of.
Public preserved? No. If I'm understanding you correctly, no. When people send email to that commission board email address from the website, that goes to the five of us and it's read, acted upon, if appropriate, forwarded to other people so that they can do what needs to be done to take care of it. But no, that never enters the public record unless... Well, like the, you know, if we get a comment from a staff person that says, I think it'd be really great if we passed out hand sanitizer to everyone. Okay, just as an example. And then, you know, I forward that on to Pearl. She says, this is a splendid idea. We should do this. So then in the meeting, you know, we discuss it. Then it becomes a matter of public record. But no, not necessarily.
Julie?
Yes.
But in one of our... early on here in the last couple months, I swear I saw a comment from Jim about going back in the archive of those emails and pulling something out.
No, that wasn't me.
No.
Okay.
The only, and maybe Kathy can
maybe
speak to the archive, but the only way that those would be archived is like if I go to my deleted items
okay,
box.
Okay, so there's not something...
What?
There's not that email list is not automatically archiving anything.
No, I think I think I recall it, but I think Jim was referring to the minutes of the
meeting.
Meeting.
Okay. Those are
and those are archived.
Okay.
And I know for a fact that the what's posted to the listserv is archived in Mailman, unless that's changed. You can go back and read the very beginning, back in 2000, what was posted. But the actual emails that come into the commission board email address, no.
Oh, things that are posted to the listserv, yeah.
Those are archived.
Yeah.
Okay.
I bring this up simply from the concern that issues that are sometimes handled outside of these meetings, there could be confusion about what was said, what was done, how things were responded to.
This is more
and
common.
I just, my sense is that there should be a way to, for everyone's protection and good, to be able to go back and look at least for a period of a couple of years, those email exchanges.
Okay. Maybe the general public or just the commission?
The general public, the staff of the agency.
We had a ticklish situation with the employer that was here this morning. And I don't think that should have been public knowledge because we did deal with it and have some pretty interactive
May I speak to that, Julie?
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Okay. First of all, this board must conduct all of its business in public meeting. Exchanges that occur in between, during the quarter, in between the public meetings, that are, even if they're on a conference call or through emails, it is not official business. There have been a few things that they've kind of tried to figure out what is the role of the board and how shall we best address that. So yes, they may get into issues, but it isn't any decision making, and it really is more a matter of
information,
determining whether to and how to handle particular issues.
Exactly.
I would say probably 80 to 90% of what we do outside of the meetings is about scheduling.
And the other 10% we have to forget.
Out.
And that financial, the financial conference call we had, boy, we really struggled to find a day that all of us, you know, Bill and Pearl and the rest of the, us on the board could all figure it out.
And
That's true. Yeah. And if something does, excuse me, Julie, I just was going to say, if something comes up in the emails that we feel like, you know, as Pearl said, sometimes we discuss it back and forth, so that we can come to the meeting and maybe make a decision. You know, if it's something that needs to be decided, the decision will be made in public. But we've ironed out a whole lot of little minor things that are sometimes neither here nor there, but, you know, need to be ironed out so that when we come here, we don't spend 4 hours trying to iron those things out so we can get, you know, and explain why we're doing
and a lot of other things too, Jeff, that we get, you get as well, because Pearl copies us on what a lot of things she sends staff.
But that's not general public.
That's staff.
Yeah.
Right.
So.
And this,
But I do, personally, it's not, I do have the, everything since when I started on the commission board, it's all still.
You're kidding.
I keep it all.
Ooh. So. Once it's resolved, I'd.
Good job, Julie.
That's why I gave you the crown this morning.
But no, it is there. So if an issue would come up, you know, where we'd really need to dig back and look at what was said, I could do that, yes.
That was the main concern that I had, because I know there are things that some little thing is discussed at one point and somebody misunderstands what's going on down the road. And just from the standpoint of causing the possibility of confusion, causing major problems for the organization being able to conduct its business and do what it needs to do. And what has sort of stirred that up for me, there was an issue with a former member of the Board of Commissioners that became very controversial. And the emails helped to clarify some of what was going on and to settle that issue. So I just was wondering if that's something that was, had, you know, was a formalized process for it or not.
Alrighty, are there other personnel issues? Anything to do with anything related?
Maybe I can, I would like to speak to that just to especially remind the board that a few, some years ago we wrestled very heavily with to what extent the board should deal with the quote personnel issues of the agency. And the bottom line is that the state, both for employees covered by the NAEP-ASME labor contract and for employees covered by the rules and regulations, that is the supervisors and such, there are very clear and detailed processes for addressing personnel issues. And a commission board, except for personnel issues relating to their, the director they hire or fire, the board doesn't have a role with other personnel issues. Now, what we have, what we came to after that, trying to figure out what is the role of the board, is that when a personnel issue of our staff comes to my level, that is the individual and their supervisor perhaps have had some disciplinary issues, and then it may be taken to the next highest level supervisor, then it may come to me or go to hearing. I will keep you informed of those when it's appropriate. But as far as, just so it's clear, with, I think having on the agenda, along with NIS, other state personnel issues, that's really good, but I want to make sure later somebody doesn't misunderstand
yeah.
that.
Right, but and we're not talking about NCBVI personnel.
Right, like, yes.
Exactly. No.
And I think to add to that, you know, that's what came out of that whole situation was a list of the duties of the commissioners
right.
and what we do and what we do not do. And I think that was a document that was extremely helpful to me because I understood more fully what I was doing on the board.
I guess when I wrote that agenda item and included other state personnel issues, it was right after you had sent the email indicating that they had had purchased the hybrid vehicle.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I was thinking those are definitely issues that we need to be aware of
So let me say two things. One is let's change this for future meetings. NIS update and NIS and other state issues mm-hmm. update.
Right.
Rather than personnel.
Yeah, definitely take that.
So mm-hmm. I think that's very good. And I did want to also tell you with regard to the Transportation Service Bureau, TSB, purchased one hybrid and encouraged agencies to check it out, rent it, see what they thought of it. So since that time, well, right then, I sent the person at TSB who sent this out and his boss information about the issues with the hybrids and the quiet cars. And then since that time, I have sent him, the two of them, articles that update about the, you know, mm-hmm. accidents with pedestrians being hit by the quiet cars and other things. And he's thanked me for sending those along and has said, keep me informed. So I will.
Exactly, yeah.
And that's just one more example of when we're thinking about what all to report on for these meetings, we always leave some things out because there's so much
right.
going on. Mm-hmm. But I think that is good to see what other, if there's anything else mm-hmm. related to accessibility and et cetera within state government.
Right.
Madam Chair?
Yes?
No. Just to help me get clarification on something then. As a consumer organization, we can expect then that communications from members of the commission to employees will pass through Pearl rather than going directly to those employees in the future.
Right. Say that one more time. I'm not sure. Give me an example.
Yeah. If a member of the board has a concern regarding the behavior, the action, so forth, of an employee of the agency, rather than directly contacting that employee, other than perhaps to ask a question to clarify, the member of the Board of Commissioners we'll discuss that issue with Pearl, and Pearl will then discuss it with the employee of the agency. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Anything else? Okay. We'll move on to our next item, which is the NFB Newsline update, and Jamie did send that report.
Yep.
And you guys all read it?
Yes.
And enjoyed
yes.
it thoroughly?
Yep.
Oh, yes.
All right.
Okay.
It is helpful. It is appreciated.
Yes, and that will, Kathy, can you attach it to the yes. minutes so yes. the full report is there? I don't know. It's kind of exciting. They have some new programs and different mm-hmm. ways of accessing the information, so that's exciting. Reach more readers.
When your reader works.
When your reader works. That's a whole other, yeah. Okay, so we will move on.
Ooh, you got through that quick.
And our next item is CAP complaints or issues.
Okay. This quarter, there was one CAP complaint. CAP was contacted by a client who uses a Braille note. She was having a lot of difficulty and having to send it in for repairs. And so she wanted to get a newer model, a newer Braille, or I mean note taker. Originally, the counselor had refused the change because when she first got a note taker, the counselor had told her the reasons that the problems with the one that she chose, and she had chosen it anyway, and so now, and she didn't have any real new purposes for using the updated, I'm not saying it right, I'm sorry, but anyway, so first it was the request was refused, and then it went to the deputy director and or maybe the person's supervisor and deputy director, and they agreed with the counselor's opinion. It ended up that after CAP met with the individual and met with staff, and then again the note taker broke down, that the agency did decide that yes, it's time to just move on, and was able to provide the new note taker to her. So that was resolved.
I guess I have one question.
Sure.
Sorry, Mike.
No, I was totally
fine. In the very beginning of that, you stated that, you know, when she picked this particular brand of note taker, that the counselor advised her, I don't know how you said it, of problems with that particular brand, and said, you know, advised her not to get it. Is that how?
Advised her that a different note taker would be more appropriate, and I may not be saying it quite quite correctly.
Okay.
Carlos, can you state it better?
Well, the client was informed that we were hearing a lot of concerns about the Braille display from a particular note taker.
Okay.
That maybe the client should reconsider because and look at other alternatives because we are hearing complaints about that particular note taker. And in spite of that, the client still wanted that one. So based on that, it was upgraded. But then after a while, it broke down again. So the belief of the agency was, you know, that's why we informed you that was going on.
Okay.
But like Carol mentioned, as soon as it was sent again, it came back, and it wasn't working fine either. So we decided just to get a different one that she was asking for, and then deal with the other issues in a different way. Because what we want is the client to continue having something reliable.
Right.
Thank you, Carlos.
Okay, Mike?
I was just going to comment that I hope that this client listened to the recommendation of the commission for the second time around.
Yeah.
Well, so. And I think of,
and, yeah.
I'm sorry, what we are talking to the supervisors and the counselors is informed choice is about getting informed.
Right.
Not just listen from us, the commission employees, but also talk to other consumers. Right. And then make it a choice after they are informed. But they have to get the consequences. We want to support. We spend a lot of money on services.
Right.
And the whole point is we want them to get the best and work for them. Mm-hmm. We'll work for them, yeah.
I guess I'm a bit uncomfortable with the commission influencing brand choices.
Let me speak to that. It's not so much that we promote certain brands, but because we work with so many people who use a lot of different kinds of equipment, in this case note takers, we know which ones people have found to say they work with email but they really don't work very well, or that repeatedly have to go in for repair, or we know a lot of the ins and outs of what's working well, and for some people's needs and jobs a certain thing, or and schooling, certain things are really needed, certain things are nice but not necessarily. How much of a Braille user are they going to really use the readout, refreshable Braille, and so forth. What we basically do is try to share that experience with clients. So we're not really pushing particular brands, but we do have knowledge about a lot of those things. And we encourage, like Carlos said, people to talk with other consumers and get their opinions.
Pearl, would it be fair to say, I guess also, and this might not have been available when this client originally wanted their note taker, but, and I always forget the name of this, but there is the ability now to borrow equipment on a temporary basis to try it out before
ATP.
You...
ATP.
Thank you.
ATP for all.
Yeah. Yeah. And that might not have been available when this client originally got their note taker, but I asked this question of staff members in the past before, and the answer that I've kind of gotten was, there's not a, they're not going to steer you, a staff member might not steer you any which way, but there are definitely technologies that, for whatever reason, they're the best of the breed, and they have been for a while, or whatever, that the staff here might be more familiar with. So you can go out and get whatever you want. They're not going to stop you. But when it comes time to ask for assistance, there's going to be products that the staff here at the commission are going to know a lot more about than other brands.
Okay. I like that.
I was just going to say, when I have a consumer that is interested in a Braille note taker, whether it's with or without a refreshable Braille display, part of the rationale when we get equipment and a counselor gets equipment is to be able to have something of each. So we have a Braille Sense, we have Braille Note, we have PacMate, we have Voice Note, and a number of the staff have used the Braille Note. And so when a client's interested, I have them meet with each of those, and oftentimes at the same time, so that they can hear the pros and cons, and then they meet separately with each of the counselors to do hands-on with each of those products. Mm-hmm. And then if they want additional, once they've kind of defined what it is that they're interested in, then they can go ahead and check out something from AT for All to do for a lengthier period of time, because that gives them more of an, for them personally, what is going to work for them versus what they're hearing people say.
Okay.
It helps them, hear it from users, and then if they want to hear it from other consumers, we know of other people that are using each of those products.
Okay.
And so, we had, there is that one product, and if we're informing them up front that we're experiencing some problems, it helps them know, because they don't want to be in the middle of their program and maybe approaching finals and mm-hmm. then all of a sudden start having problems. We just mm-hmm. we don't want them to go into this uninformed yeah. about those things too. And so then it also from a fiscal side, for us to turn around and replace $6,000 mm-hmm. note takers,
right.
you know, that's not responsible either. So we want to be fair to them,
right.
and to be responsible about what we want, what we need to do with regard to our finances.
I would just like to say that I guess when the counselor has, you know, it appears, you know, has done their job and has helped this person make the informed choice. And it's, I guess I take the opposite view that Julie did, but it's, I guess I should know it's a sign of times we live in, but it's disconcerting. I would be disconcerted as a counselor or teacher or anything if this were brought up to the Crime Assistance Program and then, you know, overruled. I mean, that's their right and their right to appeal that or what have you, but you know, I just think it sets kind of a bad precedent. The person obviously made a choice and, you know, probably should have had to live with it, but I know those decisions are made.
For clarification, mm-hmm. Client Assistance Program agreed with us too.
Oh, they did?
They didn't overrule, no.
Oh!
No, they didn't.
But then just to...
No, we decided, because again, the client
got
the fixed equipment back, and it wasn't still working.
Okay.
So we decided to just get a new one.
Did they give you some of their money back from the other program?
No. We try.
Yeah, oh, never. Hopefully this will not be a pattern. But
yeah, that's what I'm scared of. Yeah,
I think what Carlos is saying is it's important for us for a client to be successful. And, and we are not going to say you're right in the middle of your college career and you don't have any
right.
equipment to use. I mean, I think that's
yeah. I got to choose your
wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
But I think with our actions, really, we are kind of choosing some of the products. You know, the reality is that if a client comes to the center, they're going to learn jobs. We do have window mm-hmm. eyes there, but there's only a handful of people that, you know, knows how mm-hmm. to use window eyes. And like Mike said, you know, my thing to the client, you will call me anytime, I'll give you a job support, but I cannot give you window support, you know. So that's the reality out there too.
You know, actually, if I may speak to this, even on the low-tech issue, we teach one cane, one type of cane.
And a cane tip.
And one type of cane tip.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we do that because we know that particular tool is, for most people, the most effective mm-hmm. and gives the most information about the environment. We do tell people there are other canes, you know, once you've had your training with us using our curriculum and the tools that we're best able to teach, then, you know, go forth and get whatever you want, use whatever you want. But whether it's low tech or high tech, sure, we can't teach everything. We can't have every gadget known to man mm-hmm. in our closet. So that it mm-hmm. is true, you know, but I don't think it's a bad thing.
Do the technology guidelines that were recently developed, I should review them again. Do they discuss, like, once you pick a piece of equipment and you have that, is it spelled out, you know, that's yours for life and forever and ever, and you're stuck with it?
Yes, it was.
Excuse me, just one second. I brought it with me, but Carlos was on the committee that just recently revised, so if we could let Carlos, and you might want to...
Yeah, it basically said, you know, the client will get informed about the equipment once the client decides, and once we purchase, the equipment belongs to the client. And goes further saying the client is responsible for upgrades, for maintenance, Well, if he breaks down the plan, he's supposed to get a new one.
Right.
And that's something also. Uh-huh. So our training is so individualized.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Saying that, let's say that the client changed their employment goal, and the piece of equipment that he or she chose at the beginning may not fit in the employment goal that
sure.
he or she changed. I mean, there's so many varieties just sitting here and say they're going to get only one and they're going to stuck with it.
Right.
I don't think that's true either.
Yeah. Well, that's why this is guidelines, isn't
yeah.
it, policy?
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Madam Chair.
Yes.
The Federation certainly agrees with these things, as long as there is that, and it seems very clear to me that the understanding is there. There are people who are going to make mistakes in their choices of equipment simply because somebody gave them a really good sales pitch at some point along the way. Or any manufacturer can produce a lemon. Mm-hmm. And so as long as those things are part of what is being considered in that process, mm-hmm. then I think this is a good way for it to be handled.
Well, and I agree. I mean, definitely when I was doing my own research, I probably went a little overboard. Mm-hmm. And by the end of it, you know, after talking to, you know, 137 people, it was like, you know, flip coin. Because you get as many people yeah. saying that brand A is just fabulous as you will, you know, people that endorse brand F. And it's just...
Same as any product.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's true. Right. But I don't think that it's... I mean, I think that the consumer needs to have the information so that they can make a decision, you know, based on that. But on the flip side of that, I don't think it's appropriate for the commission to endorse a singular product to the exclusion of others. Anyway.
Agreed.
Okay. Have we all had our say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Are we ready to move on?
So much. A lot of interesting things today.
Okay.